to give me some feedback. Those of you at home, I want you to as well. If you want to type in a comment real quick here's the question. I want you to give me some feedback here. If I asked you, what does the world need more of right now? What would you say? Just think for a second. What does the world need more of?
Compassion.
The world needs more of compassion. The world needs more love. The world needs more love right now. The world needs more what?
Peace.
That was our Christmas theme, wasn't it? Peace. And season of peace. And boy, it just didn't seem like that played out. But it did here. I think we had some folks that brought some peace into their own lives. So compassion, love, peace. What else?
Holy Spirit.
Whoa. Okay. The Holy Spirit, kindness, I heard.
Jesus.
More Jesus. What?
Respect
for one another. Respect. And especially respect for people who you disagree with. It's not hard to, look, even Jesus said, look, the people who love you, it's no big deal if they do things for you. But you do it for your enemy, well, that's saying something. I mean, that's kind of where he said. So all those are good answers. Anything else?
Understanding.
Maybe empathy. Is that kind of what you're talking about? You know, understanding, trying to understand where somebody is and why they believe. I always tell people there's always a reason why people do what they do. Anybody else? I don't know if anybody's weighing in at home. Yes?
Forgiveness.
Man, that's a pretty tough one to come by. Desperately needed in our world. And not only forgiveness, but also then letting things go, which is kind of the same thing. Because if you don't let things go, you haven't really forgiven somebody. Anything else?
Accountability.
Oh, you're saying that because your daughter, she's like, accountability. Pointing at it. No, she's not. Well, those are great answers, but they're wrong answers. What the world needs more of is pizza. Plain and simple, the world needs more pizza. I mean, look, pizza makes people happy, right? I mean, when you're at a party and the pizza guy shows up, what does everybody do? Well, yeah, they eat it, exactly. Duh, Pastor. They eat it, yes. They also cheer, right? I mean, hey, pizza's here, right? Everybody celebrates. See, the world needs more pizza. There's nothing wrong with love. There's nothing wrong with answering Jesus and all that. But the truth is, the world needs more pizza. You know, if you think about it, pizza is about a perfect food. It has, I don't know if the food groups are still the same as they used to be when we were a kid. Remember the food pyramid they had when we were kids? I think that's probably changed now. It's not a pyramid anymore. Well, that's because there's no, it can't have points on it. It probably has to be round and unoffensive to anybody who is, inclined to like, circles. But anyway, you can offend somebody. You think about it, it's got all the food groups, at least the food groups that were food groups when I was a kid. I mean, it's got grains, it's got protein, if you're normal. It's got what does? Yeah, but I mean real protein, like meat. Cheese is its own category. Because melted cheese is just the best thing there ever was. If it's put with the right proteins, okay? And if it's put on a nice crust, and you can even put some token vegetables on pizza, right? You can put a few green things on there and a few red things on there, and you've had a pretty complete and healthy meal. Now, I'm going to preach the Bible whether you like it or not, okay? But, it's God gave us a perfect food. And yet still the world, whenever God gives us something perfect, and God gives us something that's really good, the world tries to corrupt it. And the world tries to change it to where it's not what it was intended to be. For example, we have this. This cauliflower, they replaced the bread of life with a cauliflower crust.
No. Good.
That is, it is not good. It is not good, and may I just say, Jesus warned us that there would come a day when people would call that which is good evil and that which is evil good. Of course I haven't tried it. Look, now obviously I'm sort of joking that I'm sort of kidding. Not about that. No, I'm right about that. That's just like you might as well put turkey bacon on that, which is not bacon. Amen goes there. Obviously, I'm joking, but doesn't that sound an awful lot like other things too? Like the gospel. The world, God gave us a perfect gospel, an amazing gospel. Gospel means good news. And Jesus gave that to us, and we got to get her picture off of there. Can you, yeah, I mean, not, I'm not against her. I'm just against the abomination that she's calling pizza. But, by the way, they don't make that anymore, I don't think. I think that's no more. But what was I talking about? Oh, I was joking about, you know, joking about the pizza thing, but it does sound a lot like the gospel, doesn't it? I mean, hasn't the world tried to change the gospel? tried to make substitutions and counterfeits and so forth. So here's, but there's a lesson here. You know, I believe that, you know, I said the what the world needs more of is pizza, but this sort of, that's just something that we can all sort of relate to. But the truth is the world does need the gospel of Jesus Christ, right?
Amen.
But the amazing thing is there is an unlimited supply of the gospel of Jesus Christ, right?
Amen.
It's available to everybody. And it's free to us. To everybody. Yes? So can you imagine if pizza were available to everybody? I mean, all you had to do was pick up a phone, place an order, and it would come to you and cost you nothing. Wouldn't that be an amazing thing? You know, and would not everybody want to be a part of something like that? So why? Because the truth is, there is an endless supply of the gospel. There's an endless supply of love and grace from Jesus Christ. And it is available to everybody. It's free to humanity. So what is the problem?
The God of this world has blinded their
minds. The God of this world has blinded their minds, but I think there's another problem. That is a truth, but I think there's another problem. And here's what the other problem is. The problem is there's not enough vessels to get that gospel to them. Now, I'm going to use this as sort of an illustration today, and I hope that, you know, we've been giving our kids pizza boxes, and I'm so grateful to Massey's Pizza for donating those. And by the way, we didn't get those out today. Sorry, you're going to have to just listen to me. Oh. So she said, I'm going to sleep anyway. So he said, I did my part. I'm going to sleep now. But you know, here's the thing. You know, as I was thinking about, you know, our kids, we've been giving them these boxes, and I thought, you know, this is a vessel. Can you imagine? You know, can you imagine if you ordered a pizza? What if I should have brought one in? Can you imagine if you ordered a pizza and the guy showed up with it in his, you know, like folded over and tucked in his coat, and he pulled it out and here's your pizza? Would you take it?
No.
You wouldn't take that. You depends on my. Yeah, it depends on where it comes from. If it comes from Massey's Pizza, then of course. No, I'm just kidding. Wait, there's more. No. So, look, no, you expect it to come in a vessel. That's the only way pizza comes, right? It only comes in a box because that's how it needs to come. Do you know the gospel only gets to the world in a vessel also? God does not just himself come down and physically go to someone's door. He expects one of his vessels to bring that amazing free gospel to the people who need it. So, you know, as I wade into this then, you know, I wanted you just to kind of have that illustration in your mind. And, you know, probably, you know, especially now, I think in our world, I just think there's too few vessels that are out there to take the gospel to the world. So, children of God, can I just say, this is what we are. You can think of, if you're a true follower of Jesus Christ, you and I, we are to the gospel what this box is to a pizza getting to people that are hungry. Now, there's a shortage of those vessels, and I want to talk about why this morning, and I believe the same four reasons or the same four requirements there are for a box to take a pizza to the world are the same four requirements that are involved for a vessel to take the gospel to the world. So please let me just kind of share this, and it won't be long this morning, but I really hope we will look at ourselves very, very, very carefully. Can I ask you? Forget about everybody else in the room. Forget about everything, and just. Just for a few moments, let's all allow the Holy Spirit to take kind of a worldly illustration and make it applicable to our spiritual lives. That's what Jesus did, by the way. He talked about fig trees. You know, he talked about you know, bread, and he used different illustrations, and that's kind of what we want to do this morning. So let me just give you the four things that are required. In order for a vessel to be used, the first thing is that it has to be paid for. Now, we're very fortunate. Again, Massey's took care of these and paid for those for us. May I also say, and this is a very brief point, because Jesus has paid for you and me. Amen. The Bible says, know ye not that you are the basically the, say it, go ahead. Bought with a high price. Bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your bodies, which are His. So we are bought with a price. Jesus paid for us. We paid nothing for us. We pay nothing for our salvation. In order to become a vessel that God could use, it cost us nothing. This probably cost about 39 cents, I would guess. But I'm going to move on to number two, because here's where it starts getting to where we need to be looking at ourselves. Number two, in order for this vessel to be used, it has to be clean. It's got to be clean. What would you do if you ordered a pizza and it came and you opened it up and there was just filth and dirt all over the top of it? If it had something all over, it's got to be clean, yes? Amen. You want a clean vessel. You want your pizza to arrive in a clean vessel. And may I just say, the world also wants a clean vessel to bring the gospel of Jesus Christ. Let me share this with you. Take a look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Notice 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 4, that each of you should know how to possess his own, look at the next word, vessel in sanctification and honor. Now, time out for a second. You say, I don't think the world cares what we do with our lives or how we live. Let me just say, the world may be blinded, which is exactly right. Ben said it earlier. The world has been blinded to the gospel, but it's not blind. Boy, is it quiet in here today. The world may be blinded to the gospel, but it's not blind. The world can look at us and see whether or not we are different. Amen. Or whether we look just exactly like them. And it's not a judgment thing. It's just simply a matter of, if you're going to bring this thing, if we're going to take this thing that is so perfect, this amazing gospel of Jesus Christ, this good news that there is hope for people, it needs to come in a clean vessel. Amen. Or people don't want it. And that's a reason why some people say, I don't want what you have. You're not any different than I am. Right. I don't see anything different in your life than I see in my life. Let's go on, and I'll continue to make that point. He said, not in the passion of lust like the Gentiles who do not know God. Watch that. Go back. He makes a point. He's saying, look, you cannot just be just like the Gentiles who don't know God. Your vessel's got to be clean. Now, does that mean perfect? Of course not. Are any of us perfect? Of course not. But we can take steps to be clean. Look, like I said, when your pizza arrives, if that box is not clean, you're immediately thinking, I'm not sure I want that. And when we try to share the gospel with somebody and they're looking at our lives and it's obviously, there's some things not right to them, why would they want our gospel? It's got to be clean. Verse 6, that no one should take advantage of and defraud his brother in this manner. That because the Lord is the avenger of all such, as we forewarned you and testified. Now watch verse 7, and this is it for this passage. For God did not call us to uncleanness, but to holiness. Amen. He said, I called you to be clean. Why does God want us to be clean? I'll tell you why he wants us to be clean, because we're supposed to be carrying the gospel of Jesus Christ, and we can't take the gospel to a world that needs him and wants him. They're not going to want him if it comes in a dirty vessel. Amen. So watch. So when we try to take the gospel to the world and they look at us and our lives don't look any different than their lives, why would they want our gospel? Right. See, boy, please don't be, look, and I seem like I have hurt some feelings and I've offended some people with some things that I've preached here lately. And I want to say that I'm sorry, but I'm sorry if people get hurt or offended by blunt preaching. And by saying things that I believe to be true, and I'm always willing to be corrected if I'm biblically wrong. But here's the thing: we've got to understand that we were called to be clean. Amen. So that what is supposed to be in us looks good to the world. Amen. And you know, okay, so watch. And again, I'm thinking about the people at home. And I wouldn't hurt you, those of you listening in at home and watching at home, for anything in the world on purpose. And nor for anybody here. But if we're trying to take the gospel to somebody and we're just as fearful as they are, why would they want our gospel? If we allow fear to dominate our life, we say, oh, I've got a God you can trust. Well, but our lives don't show that. We're just as fearful as they are. We let fear and things like that control us just as much as they do. Why would they want our gospel? Well, I hope that's making sense. If they're looking at us and we're just as unhappy, look, boy, please, 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 child of God, please. Unhappiness is a dirty vessel. If you're just unhappy all the time, did you ever meet somebody who's just unhappy all the time? I mean, it doesn't matter what's going on in the world, they're just unhappy. Now look, and I'm not talking about, I understand that depression's a real thing. I understand anxiety's a real thing. I understand that there are heartaches and brokenness and things like that happening to so many of you. But that doesn't mean that you can just walk around being unhappy all the time, or you are a dirty vessel that nobody would want to listen to and you tell them how good your God is. How can you reach that person you want to reach when you're just as miserable as they are? How can I reach a broken world if I'm showing how broken I am and I'm not doing anything about it? If I'm messed up in some area and I'm not making any improvements and I won't listen to anybody and I won't take correction and I won't try to change anything in my life, and somebody looks at that and like I said, the world is blinded to the gospel, but it's not blind. And they're not stupid. Not as stupid as I am. I've done more stupid things in the name of religion than I ever did outside of religion. Now look, the point is, we've got to be, look, why would somebody want God to help them with their addiction if the person who's talking to them about how wonderful Jesus is still battling their own addiction? Right. Look, I'm just saying, it's got to be a clean vessel. It's got to be a clean vessel. For just as negative and just as unjust, the gospel can't be delivered in a dirty vessel. So what do we do about it? 1 John 1:9. Here's what we do about it. Jesus said, look, it's not a problem for me. If you're a dirty vessel, you're just like the world, you got something going on, it's not a problem for me, Jesus said. He said, if you confess your sins, I will be faithful and just to forgive your sins and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. That's pretty simple, right? I mean, that's a very simple thing. Now look, that means we need to be on this thing every single day of our lives. It's not a one-time cleaning. How many of you took a shower yesterday or today? Don't raise your hand. I don't want to know. If you didn't, don't put your hands down. I don't want to know. If you didn't, I don't want to know. Look, you don't take one shower for life. Right? We have to take a shower every day. We have to take, some of us need more than one shower a day. And some of us need to be confessing our sins and trying to work on that. Look, it's a constant battle, isn't it? Do any of you have a bad habit like I have a bad habit that I have to work on constantly? You win, you lose, you win, you lose. You get clean, you get dirty, you get clean, you get dirty. But look, the world is not stupid. For those of us who know we have something that is wrong in our lives and we're a dirty vessel and we simply don't care. We're not trying to work on it. Why would they want our gospel? That'd be like trying to deliver a pizza in a dirty box. Number three. This is really the main thing. It's got to be clean. It's also got to be empty. Pizza box has to be empty. In order for the pizza place, if I take this down to the pizza place, if I take one of these boxes that are back here on the table that Ava didn't get today, because our kids workers let you down, I'm sorry. No, I'm just kidding. If it couldn't have been me. But if I take one of those over there and ask them to put a pizza in it, they can't put a pizza in it because there's already something in it. There's already stuff that I have put in there. There are things in there that I think are important. There are things that I've made and that I've done. There's my talents in there and my all this stuff about me. And surely God knows how valuable I am. Or is the value really in the box? Isn't the value in the pizza that goes in the box? Like I said, this is probably about 39 cents. Now look, it had to be paid for and we're grateful for that. But the fact of the matter is, this box isn't really worth a whole lot until somebody puts a pizza in it, right? Somebody puts a pizza in this thing, and suddenly it's worth a whole lot more, yes? Amen. We need to understand where the value is.
Amen.
The value's not in us. The value's not in me. The value's not in those of you sitting at home. The value only comes into our lives when that which is truly valuable comes in and can be taken to a hungry world. Right? That's where the value is. The value is in what goes inside. You know, and as I think about that, you know, it's what's inside that gives the value to the vessel, not the vessel that gives value to to what's inside. We're on, you know, thinking about Easter. I was thinking about the tomb. Do you realize we don't worship the tomb, do we, at Easter time? Does anybody worship the tomb? Why? Because it's empty. Because that which was valuable has come out of it. Once that which is valuable has come out of it, it wasn't worth anymore. Now, you have to understand, I know there's a little contradiction there, but the point is, we're supposed to be taking a gospel. We're supposed to be taking this gospel to the world, and it's what's inside that really is value, and it's what gives value to us. If the gospel is not inside of us being taken to a hurting world, we have very little value. Very little bit. Now, please don't take that. I know that goes completely against modern, you know, that's just terrible. That's old fashioned. You know, you can't say that kind of stuff. It's all about self-esteem now and all that. Self-esteem should be bound up in our relationship with Jesus Christ.
Amen.
The truth of the matter is, if you want to say, oh, but we're all good inside. No, we're not. We're not. Paul said we're not. Paul was the leader of the gospel getting business. The gospel getting out business in the New Testament. He wrote most of the New Testament. And he said, I know that is in me, that is in my flesh, dwells no good thing.
Amen.
But we become incredibly valuable to this world when the gospel is in us and we're able to take it out because we have a clean vessel and an empty vessel.
Amen.
But that means all those things that I talked about that make our vessel dirty, those things have to leave our lives. Those have to get out of our lives. In fact, here's how Paul said it in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 21. Notice, how do we do this? Okay, how do you, if you want to get rid of stuff in your life, what's the word we use? Do we have any hoarders in the room? Anybody a hoarder? You're not going to admit it. But how many of you know a hoarder? Yeah, that's what I thought. So, yeah, I'm asking for my friend. What's the word that you use when you're trying to get rid, when you're trying to declutter, you purge, yes?
Amen.
You purge. If you're trying to empty something out, the word is purge. Watch what Paul said we need to do. He said, therefore, if a man purge himself from these, or if a woman purge herself, or if a child purge herself from these, then they shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet. That means usable. For the master's use, prepared unto every good work. We have to purge those things. Now, here's a question. He said, if he purged himself from these things, what things? You know, the amazing thing here is, I studied this verse, I studied the preceding verses. He doesn't really get specific, and here's what I think Paul wanted us to do. I think he said, I'm not going to get specific here. That's for you to decide. That's for me to decide. Truth is, I know what I need to purge from my life. I know what I need to purge from my life. My guess is, so do you. So do you. We already know. He doesn't have to get specific. He doesn't have to list them all off. We know the things that need to be taken out of us so that the gospel has a place to come in.
Amen.
That people will want to have it. So I said, number one, it's got to be paid for. Can we check that one off the list? Yes? It's been paid for. We've been paid for. Number two, it's got to be clean. Number three, it's got to be emptied. Number four is probably the biggest one, and it's really pretty simple. And I think it's the biggest condition or the biggest requirement is that we have to care.
Amen.
We just simply have to care. See, there's a lot of people. There are a lot of Christians, and I think this is common, and again, and I'm not judging anybody. I'm just simply stating a fact as I see it within Christianity right now. I think there's a lot of Christianity right now that says, you know what? I kind of like my life the way it is. You know, it's orderly, it's not complicated. If I put that pizza in there, if you put a pizza in there, what's going to happen? Have you ever gotten a really greasy pizza? What was that place? We had a place that, when I was in college, my wife and I still talk about it. I don't remember, I forget what the name of it was. It was called the Cottage, I think, and we called it the Rottage. But it was, but you could get like a 25-inch pizza for like $4. It was mostly grease. So, yeah, you didn't put it on the seat of your car. When you went and picked it up, you like set it on top of your car because you just didn't want that on your, it was just that bad. You know, the gospel can get messy. The gospel will leave a mark. It will leave a mark, but it's not a bad mark. It's not a bad messy in our lives. But it does complicate our lives. It does complicate our lives. If we do it right, it complicates our lives. And the simple fact is, apathy is probably the greatest tool that Satan is using right now in Christianity to shut it down. There are just so many Christians that find it so easy just to do absolutely nothing. And basically, oh, we're an empty vessel, all right. Anybody want to buy this from me? Anybody give me $10 for this? Of course not, because it doesn't worth anything. What? It's not worth anything. Because there's nothing of value being done with it. Now, if I went and bought one, if I was willing to go and get one and put something of value in that and take that to somebody, it would be worth a lot to them. You take that to somebody who's hungry. Look, if I went and got one of those and took it to somebody who right now is sitting somewhere under a bridge, cold and hungry, what would it mean to them if I took them a box filled with a hot pizza? It would be everything in that moment, wouldn't it? And they would feel so loved and so cared about. For a few moments, they would feel like they mattered to somebody. What if I take them an empty box? If I take them one with nothing in it, well, that's just kind of a slap in the face. And I'm afraid that there's so many Christians walking around right now. We come in contact with people every day. We haven't bothered to get Jesus, the gospel, ready to give to them. We pass them. We talk to them. People are talking all the time now about how scared they are, how worried they are. I don't know if my job's going to be there. I'm afraid I'm going to get COVID, this, all this stuff. What? But if we're living just like they are, if we're not a clean vessel and we're not an empty vessel that God can fill and use, then we are of no value to them. And if you're sitting somewhere right now, whether it's here or at home, and we're not doing anything at all for Jesus Christ in terms of getting the gospel to a world, then we are nothing but a worthless, empty vessel. Amen. Nearly worthless. Nearly worthless. But we could be worth so much if we would empty ourselves of us. You know, Jesus emptied himself. Do you remember what Jesus did in the garden? Did he empty himself? Yes or no? Didn't he say, not my will, but thine be done? He emptied himself. He said, look, God, it doesn't matter what I want to do. Doesn't matter what my priorities are. Doesn't matter how I would like to do things. God, even if I think I got a better idea than you got, I trust you. That's what he wants from his vessels today. You don't have to be the gospel. Be the vessel. Amen. We're just the vessel. We're so valuable when we are used for what we were made for. Amen. Let's look at two scriptures. We'll let them speak for themselves and I'll be done. 2 Corinthians 12:15. Watch this. Paul said, I will gladly spend and be spent for you. Can I ask you a question? Is that your testimony and my testimony also? Are we willing to let... You were going to hand that back. You are so awesome. Are we willing to let our vessel be used for what God intended it to be used for? No matter how messy it gets, no matter how hard it gets, no matter what he asks of us, that's the question there. Paul said, I will gladly spend and be spent for you. He's talking to a world that needs the gospel. And then finally, he challenged all of us in Romans chapter 12 and verse 1 when he said this. He said, I beseech you therefore, brethren. That means he said, I'm begging you. I'm begging you. Child of God, I'm begging you. By the mercies of God, present your body a living sacrifice. Present your body a living, that means present your vessel.
Amen.
For him to do whatever he wants to with it. Whatever he wants. Holy, acceptable unto God, which is your extraordinary service. Which is your unbelievably generous and amazing service. And you are the most incredible person on the face of the earth for doing it. No, he said it's your reasonable service. Why is it our reasonable service? Because we were bought by him. We have a home in heaven waiting because of him.
Amen.
That's when we get to rest.
Amen.
That's when we get to play.
Amen.
That's when we get to enjoy the benefits of everything that he did for us. But right now, we're supposed to be working on being a clean and an empty vessel that's already been paid for, that's willing to be used by God.
Amen.
I hope the illustration makes its way into our spirits, and the Holy Spirit makes it personal to each one of us. Let's pray.